Lord, we do just thank you so much for the privilege of coming here and gathering together. And we thank you for the freedom to do that. We thank you that we don't have to hide somewhere to do it. And I thank you for just one of the incredible blessings that we receive when we come to faith in Christ is we benefit from being put into a family, another family, not just a biological family, but our church family, our church body here, the family of God. And it's a blessing to be able to come together and to seek you together and worship you together and remind one another what it's about. And so, Lord, we just, as we gather here underneath your word this morning, we just pray that you would speak to us, that you would bless us with clear understanding, and not just understanding of information, but also help us to take it in. Help us to really receive the truth that your word has for us today. And Lord, open the eyes of our heart. Enlighten the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we might see the truth today and we might embrace it and be changed by it, Lord. And also just lift up those in our church that, our church family that are sick, that need your healing touch. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would grant the gift of healing to them. And also, Lord, we pray for those that need emotional healing too, that who may be suffering silently, depression or other ailments. Lord, we just pray that you'd set them free and grant them just to be able to walk freely in Jesus without any fear, without just knowing that you have their future in hand. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we are going to talk about the greatest invitation, the greatest invitation. I really have not been invited to any super famous shindigs, you know. I've not, been invited to the White House or anything, or you know, whatever. I mean, but it is fun to get an invitation to, you know, weddings or parties and things like that, and so many of those invitations, right, especially for the weddings, because there's a cost involved, are that RSVP on it, right? You've got to respond to it one way or the other. Yes, I'm coming. No, I'm not, right? And this morning, the invitation that Jesus issues really does require a response. He bids us something. He gives an invitation, and he expects us to respond to it in some form or fashion. So if you're able to, why don't you go ahead and stand as we take a look at this passage here in Matthew chapter 11. And for some reason, I don't have control, which is probably good. But let's just go ahead. We'll read the. Maybe I do now. Nope, not yet. That's okay. Oh. This is great because humility is just always a good thing. It really is. Yeah, you go ahead and just you can be in control. There you go. Go back to the past. There we go. All right. So I'll just read this aloud. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer: "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Could you advance the slide? There you go. Thank you. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." All right, that's the word of the Lord. Please have a seat. Okay. So, going again, continuing through the book of Matthew here, and, you know, we're just going to jump right into it here. This invitation Jesus gives, and you heard it there where he says, come to me. Right? He says, come to me. And when you look at the nature of that invitation there, where he says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And so Jesus invites us to come to him, and he offers this rest. So that's kind of the nature of the invitation, is basically to take our burdens, and he offers us rest. He says he gives us rest. And I think that's pretty cool, because it's not something that we have to work for. He doesn't say, come to me, and if you work really hard, then I'll help you have some rest. No, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. And so we need to realize that the rest that Jesus offers here, that he invites us to enter into, is a total gift. It's not something that could be earned by trying harder. In fact, you know, really, I think that what he's getting on about here is the fact that the religious leaders at the time were laying heavy burdens on the people trying to follow God. They were laying on heavy burdens, excessive regulations, if you will, and rules beyond what God ever intended in the Old Testament law. And so those excessive regulations for what the Pharisees and scribes would deem as, if you really want to follow God, you got to follow these things, extra things. And so that was a heavy weight on the people of God. And it was a burden. And so what Jesus is saying is, you know what? To have a relationship with me, it's not about regulations, okay? It's about coming to me. We have to come to Jesus if we want to lay out the burden, which we all do have a burden, okay? And it's not necessarily just the burden of trying harder for God, but just the burden of our own sin. That the fact that we do things, and we have done things, and we will do things that are contrary to what God would want, things that hurt other people, things that are just going on in our own mind that are contrary to what God wants, and that contrary to what brings him glory, right? And so that brings with it guilt, where we even sense a need for forgiveness, but how we receive and get that forgiveness is important, okay? Because some people would think that, well, I just need to kind of like start working on some stuff. I need to go to church and start reading my Bible, and I need to stop cussing. I need to whatever the things might be. Now, I'm not against those things, right? But I think the thing is those things don't relieve us of our burden of our sin, okay? And what really has to happen is we have to realize why Jesus came, and that he does offer us to take on our sin and the burden of that on himself. And that's what happened at the cross. You know, as we come to Good Friday and we acknowledge the sacrifice that Jesus made, right, as he was nailed to the cross, right, his hands and his feet were nailed to that cross, and his side was pierced, right, and his blood flowed. And it was because, now the people who crucified him would say it was because he blasphemed God. He claimed to be God, but he's not. And, you know, that's what they would say they were doing, right? But the reason God put Jesus there was so that there might be a sacrifice for our sins, so that Jesus could be our substitute, right? And it's in the recognition, you know, of course, at this point in as we're following along in Matthew, you know, Jesus hasn't got there yet. He's not come to the cross yet, but he's just talking about, you know, if you really want to unload the burden of your sin, you have to come to me, right? And really that unburdening that is in a person. It's not in a system. It's not in regulations. It's not in doing things. It's in putting our faith in Jesus, right? Now, it is interesting that looking at some of the scriptures that relate to us the fact that Jesus bore the burden of our sin. Let's take a look at a couple of these. Isaiah 53, verse 6 talks about this in the Old Testament here. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. It says, "All of us like sheep have strayed away." This is the New Living Translation. "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own way." That's, you know, that's a, one, in one word, we're rebels, right? You got to do it in your own way, right? And basically, Isaiah, the prophet, says we're all in this situation. We have all done this. We are all like sheep who have wandered away. Nobody has escaped that condition, okay? It's important for us to realize this. There are no exceptions here, okay? And then it says, "Yet the Lord laid on him," and the "him" here is the suffering servant in this passage, Isaiah 53, which is Jesus. Prophetically speaking of Jesus, "The Lord has laid on him the sins of us all." In other words, think about in terms of laid on, bearing. He bore our burden of our sin. He took it on, right? That's what Jesus did. He did it on the cross, right? So if you want to be free of the burden of your sin, you have to go to the cross, because that's where you lay it down. That's where it comes off, you know? In fact, does anybody here know what, a little trivia here, anybody here know what the most printed book other than the Bible is? Not the Iliad. Good guess, though. Pilgrim's Progress, which is by John Bunyan, a Puritan. Okay? And the reason I bring this up, and if you've never read this, okay, and it's written in different editions, like I like the children's edition myself, okay? You know, I don't, maybe that says something about me, but I like that, and we read it to our kids growing up, but it's an allegory, okay? It's an allegory, and it's this, in story form. It's trying to describe to you what the Christian life and living the Christian life is like. Has anybody here read it? Okay, a couple people have. And so in story form, John Bunyan tries to at least relate to us his thoughts about what the Scripture says about living the Christian life. It's really fascinating. And by the way, this is to get a little extra information, okay? This is no extra charge. If you have an Amazon Prime membership, you can look at, I'll send a link out, an email about this, but basically there's some guy who did kind of looking at the Pilgrim's Progress and kind of like thinking about applying the scriptural truths from that to your life. It's very fascinating, really simple. But anyway, in this story, everybody has a name that describes what they're like. Their name is just a total indicator of what they are, okay? So when you're in Doubting Castle, even the locations, well, they doubt their faith there at Doubting Castle, right? But the main character's name is Christian, all right? And through the process of this story, he picks up a book, and it's the Bible, and he reads it, and it kind of, it's like a mirror in his soul. He gets convicted. He sees what he's really like, and that he's he realizes he has a sin problem, this kind of thing. And so, but then what happens is all through the through a good bit of the story, he's carrying this pack, as you see on the left-hand side, this burden, all this stuff, okay? And it's not until he comes to the cross over here that his burden rolls off and he's free of it, right? And you can see, obviously, the linkage there with he's coming to faith. His burden of his sin has come off. He's free of it now, right? And just I'm just using this as the connection point to say, you know, Jesus, when he's inviting us to come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give rest, he's saying, come to the foot of my cross, because I have paid the penalty for your sin. And if you will ask of me, I will give you forgiveness and release from all that, from all the burden of your sin. And so it's an invitation that he offers us. And so this is what it means to be a Christian, is to realize our need for a Savior, that our sin separates us from God, right? And to answer the invitation that Jesus gives, right? And this is the thing, is that every person needs to make this decision. It's not made for you. A non-decision is a decision too at the time, right? If you decide not to put your faith in Jesus, to believe that what he did on the cross was to die for our sins in our place as a punishment for our sins, if you choose not to do that, you know, that's a decision too, right? And so I pray that you would, like Christian here, would be on a pursuit of knowing Jesus and answering that invitation to come to him. And it's in this passage too, Jesus does tell you, he says, I'm gentle, I'm humble of heart, you know, he's just giving us a picture of who he is, what he's like, okay? And so he bids us to come to him. And, you know, I tell you what, I can think back to times when I was a wee little lad, you know, sitting in the Baptist church that I grew up in. And, you know, it was a regular thing where they would have, like, an altar call, you know, a call of response to, you know, there would be a hymn that was sung that was kind of more of an invitation to, hey, come, receive Jesus. And that was the nature of the words of the hymn. And I remember feeling this tug, if you will, of, you know, Greg, what are you going to do? I mean, there was no pressure. Like, it wasn't like the guy was saying, you know, okay, now we're going to sing all these stanzas again until all you sinners come on down. No, it wasn't like that. It was just, you know, the truth of the words were being sung, the message had been given, and but I wasn't responding to that. And it wasn't till years later, though, that, you know, that I really answered the invitation. And so I just encourage you today, you know, don't let another day go by without saying yes to Jesus Christ and come into my life, forgive me, take the burden of my sin and the penalty of my sin, Lord, that I could have a relationship with you. And that's really what it's about. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's not about religion, if you will, our way of trying to work our way to God, because that will always fail, okay? We're trying to work our way to God. Okay, and so let me just mention this here. And some of you may remember this. This is just kind of like a verse from a hymn, an old hymn. It says, "At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." That's what it's about. At the cross, what happened at the cross changed everything. Okay, Jesus did that for you and for me, and he so wants us to come to him, accept him, unload that burden of our sin. Now, that's not to say too that this invitation doesn't apply also after you become a Christian, to come to Jesus, you know, come to the Lord with your stuff, right? I was thinking about this. 1 Peter 5:7 mentions something about that too. And so if you've already gone to the cross, if you will, symbolically, and accepted Christ as your Savior, and you have unloaded that burden of your sin on him, then 1 Peter 5:7 does bid us too also to come to Jesus with our burdens. This time it doesn't have anything to do with our eternity. It doesn't have anything to do with establishing a relationship with God. This would just be like the daily cares of life, right? Don't we consider those burdens, right? Our worries, anxiety, right? Our relationship problems, our money problems, our failures, right? those things. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Some versions say, you know, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It's you're laying them down. You're coming to the Lord. How do we do that? Well, we do it through prayer, right? Typically, anyway, is we come to the Lord, and these things that are so weighing on us, we go to him. And like Philippians 4, 6, and 7 talks about, right, you know, let your requests be made known to God. You know, don't be anxious about anything, but let your requests be made known to God. And he will help us with that. Right? And so that's I think for me, just to be honest, it's the weapon that I have to remind myself, in a sense, to use. It's prayer. It's prayer. You know, because, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to be kind of like, well, I'll figure this one out, God, you know. You go worry about somebody else's stuff, you know. Or I'll try to reason my way through this, you know. And certainly, God wants us to use our reason. But he wants us to come to him with our burdens, with our anxieties, and lay them at his feet. Cast them down there, right? Because he cares for us. You know, that's why that the thought I just expressed to you that, you know, God's not going to worry about this little thing I got going on. That's a lie. Total lie. Okay? Really, pray about everything. Okay? Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. That's really what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is saying. And so, there is nothing too small, nothing too minuscule. If you're concerned about it, we need to take it to God, right? And so, part of this, so what I'm saying is, as part of this, you know, come, Jesus invites us to come to him. Is salvation? Yes. Right? Offloading the burden of our sin? Yes. But it's also the carries of the world. Also the carries of the world, all right? And the Lord just encourages us to take all that stuff to him. Give him your failures. Give him your loneliness. Give him your anxieties, right? Now, the next aspect I want to talk about, and really the remainder of our time, I want to spend a good bit of time talking about this, and that is where Jesus tells us to take, to invites us to take up his yoke. All right, and what does that mean? You know, and it's yoke, not yolk. You know, we're not talking eggs. And now it's interesting here too. Look at the passage. Go back to that passage there in Matthew 11, and look where he says this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you," and then he says, "Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart." So somehow this taking on of the yoke is really taking on his teaching, okay? And so there's two aspects, I think, to this yoke thing, all right? One is the idea of taking on his teaching. Now, if you got to put yourself back in this time, and there were teachers who lived in your town, all right, whether they be rabbis or whatever, And you would sometimes say, I want to follow them. And what that would be doing is you would take on their yoke, which means you're going to take on their way of living, their way of teaching. You're going to take it on. It's going to be something you're going to put yourself under. Okay? That's what it would mean to take on their yoke. All right? And so Jesus, I think, when he makes this connection with taking on his yoke and learning from him, is saying, don't take on the yoke of the Pharisees and the scribes, all that extra stuff of doing, take on my teaching, okay? And that's the thing, is this is an invitation for us to take on his way of doing things, his way of living, okay? And that's really what, and really, this is a call to discipleship, okay? To following Jesus. And an aspect of that is, you know, following Jesus' teaching, which presumes that we know what it is, right? To follow his teaching is going to have to involve learning, like he says. Come and learn from me. And so, you know, it doesn't matter how long you're a Christian, you should never stop learning about what it means to follow Jesus. In fact, some of the things we're going to share here at the very end, I feel like I'm just a baby in spiritually. I'm like, I got a long way to go. And like many other things, but I'm just saying, you know, we have to be learners, all right? And not just for information's sake, okay? Not just for information's sake, but though you got to start with the information, we got to know what the Bible says, right? But then we have to, like, get it in us. Then we have to understand what it's saying and believe it, which in believing it means some things are going to change in us and in our behavior and in our speech and all this other stuff. It's going to, but it starts from the inside out, okay? Starts from the inside out. And so I just want to say, though, think about this. You know, think about your own life. And if you're a Christian, if you've put your faith in Christ, you've accepted him as your Savior, are you pursuing a growing knowledge of Jesus and a growing knowledge of what he wants for your life as expressed in the Scriptures? Are you actively pursuing that? You know, if I were to ask any one of us here, are you actively pursuing a degree of some sort at a college? Well, how would I know that? Well, are you signed up for classes? Have you submitted an application? You know, there would be things that would indicate you actually are pursuing it, right? So this is the thing, right? Apply it to this. Apply it to the Christian life. I'm a learner for Jesus. I want to learn his ways. I'm going to continue to grow in his ways. Well, then, what would be the indicators that that's the case? Well, yeah, church is a good start. A coming to worship, right? Being in fellowship with other Christians, learning from each other, sharing the scriptures with each other, being in the Bible yourself and jotting down questions you don't have the answers to and trying to pursue an understanding of the answers to those questions. You know, getting the scripture in you and understanding it and applying it to our lives, not just to be able to, like, win the Bible Bowl or Bible Jeopardy. I mean, it might be nice, but what's it doing for you, right? What's it doing? Is it changing your life, right? And this is the challenge, right? This is not easy. But I really want to say, have you settled the question, are you putting yourself under the teaching of Jesus? Are you pursuing an understanding of what he says about marriage and divorce, finances, what it means to be a God-honoring son and daughter to your parents? On all matters of sexuality, are you going to put yourself under whatever he says? You know, this is important because the person who's going to take on the yoke of Jesus is going to be the one who's going to say yes to Jesus on these things, on all matters that he speaks about, right? We can't do the cutting and pasting thing, because when we see cutting and pasting things, then we don't know what really we should cut and what we should paste. You know what I'm saying? It's a slippery slope. So how is that? Have you done that? Right? Have you taken on following Jesus in terms of his understanding the Bible, understanding how it applies to your life, right? And I think that, you know, there's and this is in no way meant to be any kind of like an elitist mentality, but I'm thankful for the tribe of churches that we've grown up in here, in that, you know, it's Christ-centric, it's Bible-centered, you know? So we're relying on the Bible, not nice ideas, you know, for our living. And so I think that's a good thing. But there's certainly other things that, And those are things that I think every church should be having, right? Christ-centered, Bible-centered. But there's other things that we can learn from other churches too. But I'm just saying, this is important. You know, I'm blessed that personally got saved in a church where the Bible was taught, encouraged to be studied, discussed, shared with one another, right? Outside any formal meetings, right? And again, it's not meant to be something, you know, to lay on somebody to say, oh, you got to do another thing, but it's something that you want to, you love Jesus, he's your Savior, you have a relationship with him, and how you grow that is through time with him in the Word and in prayer and with other people who love him, right? Now, this other aspect of being yoked with Jesus is just that, is the yoking of oxen, right? And where you would typically put together a more experienced animal with one that really doesn't know how to follow all the commands of the owner of the animals as they're trying to get them to do whatever they want, you know, turn right, turn left, stop, start, all that stuff. So you put a more experienced animal with a less experienced animal so they might be trained by being yoked with one who is. And so some have thought, and I don't think it's a bad idea, a bad thought, is that what this is getting at, in addition to the taking on his teaching, is pulling the load with Jesus. Jesus obviously being the more experienced one. He's walked and lived in this life perfectly, right? And so he's saying, take my teaching on, but also let, you know, as you do the things that I call you to do, do it with me. Do it in my power, if you will. Stop trying to pull against me. Work with me, right? And I think there's an aspect of that in this take on my yoke too, all right? And so, and this is where I feel like I have a lot to learn, all right, personally. And really, the bottom line, I think, on this, and I'm going to share some scriptures with you here in a second, is, you know, that doesn't mean that I just kind of sit and do nothing and, hey, yeah, I'm just resting in Jesus. You know, he's going to find me a job. I'm just going to sit here, you know. I'm just going to pray for my marriage and I'm not going to do anything, but Jesus is going to take care of it. Now, that's just stupidity, okay? Because God calls us to do things, yes, and to take action and to be involved, right, in living the Christian life, but it's not meant to be lived in our own power. That's what we're getting at here, okay? Now, I'm going to mention somebody here by the name of Hudson Taylor. Have you ever heard of that name, Hudson Taylor? Okay, Hudson Taylor was a missionary. Think about the time when in the States we were fighting the Civil War. That's about the time Hudson Taylor was in China. All right? He was a missionary to China at about that time. All right? And for all different kinds of reasons, he ended up starting his own missions agency. Initially, he was there with somebody else. He had some differences on how he wanted to see things done. So he started the Inland China Mission, Missions Group. Okay, now that group is still exists, but under a different name. Still exists today. All right? But he was a missionary. And he had gone through a lot of difficulty, which many missionaries out in the field do. Right? But he had suffered the loss of two of his children and his wife within months. You just can't even imagine, right, the pain he was in. Also just experiencing various difficulties in the mission's work and so on beyond that. And he was really hurting, really at a crisis moment. He got a letter from someone, and there was just one, like, sentence in the letter that got him thinking. And thinking more about what it means to abide in Christ, okay? And in fact, if you read Hudson Taylor's biography, it's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, okay? That's the biography. Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. The secret was abiding, was learning what it means to abide in Jesus. When Jesus says in John 15, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? When he says that, and in that same area of John chapter 15, he's talking about abiding, resting, remaining connected to the vine. He uses that vine and branches imagery, right? And that connectedness, right? And that, and it, since you get a picture of the a closeness of a walk with Jesus, all right? And what he came to understand was just a deeper understanding of what that meant for him, okay? It wasn't like some new truth came out of the sky. It was something that was already in the scripture, was just boom. He got it in a way that he really understood it more than he ever had. And from that point on, he really, and people would say this, and I'm actually going to send out another link in our email this week so you can watch a video on somewhere, somebody just kind of gives a biography, a history of his life, and so on. But basically what happened from that point on, he was learning to rely on the power of God to do what God was calling him to do, as opposed to just trying to crank it out on his own efforts. That was, if you will, his spiritual secret, right? Which was just learning to abide, doing all that God had for him in the power of the Spirit. I've been getting together with a few guys in the church, and one of the things that we read this last week was another classic I recommend you read, The Tyranny of the Urgent, all right? The Tyranny of the Urgent. And it just talked about, you know, how we often, you know, the things that scream at us, they're the things that we really spend most of our time doing, as opposed to the things that are the top priorities in our life, right? And so, and this happens, we all go through this. We kind of pendulum swing, you know, and so on, and we end up doing the things that are urgent but not important, right? But what we need to do, and this little booklet talks about, is we need to sit at the Savior's feet. I call that having a devotional, okay? Talking to the Lord, right? And we need to regularly take pause and evaluate what we're giving our time to, what we're giving our efforts to, what we're doing, right? You know, because, you know, you might be like that lumberjack who's just like cutting down trees. Oh. And says, oh, dag, wrong forest. Right? Doing all that work, all that effort, you know? He was getting it done, man. Getting the wrong thing done, right? And I think that I really, really affected me when we read that book in our assignment with and getting together with these guys and just thinking about that. It's like, man, that links up with Hudson Taylor, because he was learning how to not do it on his own power too, right? So what I think that, me personally, I want to grow in this, you know, taking on the yoke with Jesus and stop trying to do everything in my own power, which means I got to rely on him more, that as I do the things that he's called me to do, right? As I parent my kids, as you parent your kids, you know, as you change their diapers, as you go about your business in the workplace, whatever it is, as you're doing those things, we do it with the acknowledgement that he's with us and he's there to help us, doing it in the strength that he supplies. All right? And if I do my work without ever a thought of Jesus, then something's amiss. Okay? Something's amiss. And so let me read for you a few scriptures here that relate to this. Okay? That relate to this, because there is somehow in the scripture this juxtaposition, if you will, of effort and trust. Effort and trust. Somehow they work together. And that's something I think that really Hudson Taylor, God illuminated him to and was able to him to experience that more, okay? Hudson Taylor would not say he had arrived spiritually, okay? He would not say that. And so I want to take a look at a couple of passages with you. 1 Peter 4:11. I need an ESV. 1 Peter 4:11. Uh-oh, this is small print. This will be interesting. Yeah, oh yeah, I can do it if I get it the right distance. All right, so now this is talking about spiritual gifts and using spiritual gifts, like the things that God's given us, using them for his glory, using those, right? And he says here, whoever speaks should speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as the one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You get that connection? God gets the glory when I serve and you serve him in the strength that he supplies. So there's a serving, there's a working, but it's a supplied by the power of God. It's not an either or. It's not like I'm working now. Okay, now God, you work. Now I'm working now. No, we're working together. We're in the yoke together. Jesus is directing me. I'm getting, when I sit down with him and I want to kind of take a look at the lay of the land of my life and what I'm doing. And if I get a sense in my prayer life or whatever, or from the scriptures, he's trying to direct me a certain way, right? Then I redirect. And then I do it in his power, right? And so this serving in which by the strength he supplies, or speaking, if you have a speaking gift, in the power of God, as if the oracles of God were coming out of your mouth. He's saying you're doing it in his power, right? We're teaching the kids back in KIC with the power of God. Not just gutting it out, because I've been there plenty of times. Gutting out, you know, that means, you know, what that means is just I'm just really just powering through, right? And hey, there are those days, okay? There are those days where you just, you know, you're doing it because you know Jesus said to, and that's the only reason you're doing it. Because you're not feeling it, you know? There are those days, okay? And that's where we have to trust that, okay, we obey, and we trust that the feelings eventually come, right? Okay, let's move on. Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 14. Paul talks about a secret. Paul's got a secret. Did you know that? Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. So this is the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4, 11 says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I needed that verse this week. I was at some big box store, and man, I'm telling you, Jesus was testing me because I had to wait 30 minutes to get help. But that's okay. God was working in my heart. I mean, he really was. He was convicting me. He's like, what is the big deal, Greg? You know, I've got you here. Just be here. Don't be somewhere else. Yeah, you got something else to do after this, but just be here. You know what I'm saying? But I, you know, initially I didn't want to be there, man. I was like, come on, let's get this done, man. I got stuff to do. 30 minutes. I wanted to scream into the phone every time he picked up and said, can I have customer assistance, please? And blah, blah, blah. Customer assistance, please, blah, blah, blah. They did that 10 times. I was sinning. My attitude stunk. This verse, I should have thought about this verse. I should have just repented right there. I should have just said what he said. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Hallelujah, it's a learning process. Okay? But what he's going to tell us is going to help us learn this. Okay? He goes on. He says, I have learned in whatever situation I am in, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. You know, you got a Bible you mark in, you should be circling those words, because anytime you see an any and an ever, you just, oh, that's just like food for the soul, because that means it's for you. It's for you and your situation. When you're at the big box store and they're not helping you, and the assistant doesn't know how to help you. And this is it. You know, he's just saying, Paul says, I've experienced it all. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. He had situations where he had nothing. He had situations where he had everything. I mean, he's like, I've been on the extremes. And he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the same thing we've been talking about. Abiding in the vine, staying connected to Jesus as we do the things in the daily things, even the mundane things, bringing the Lord Jesus into that situation, just acknowledging it. You know, so many times, I tell you, I had this the other day in the classroom. I was like, Jesus, help. My calculus brain is fried. I need your help. I've got 15 minutes for a class, and I'm lost on this subject. That's not a good place to be. You know, and I'm just saying, that's the reality. That's us trying to, and I don't always do that. But I'm saying, you know, that's what it means to be doing the things that we're to do while looking to him, right? Looking to him for power, looking to him for strength, looking to him for guidance, or just saying, I'm hanging on to you, Jesus, while I'm up for the umpteenth time with this baby tonight, or while I'm with my third week without a job, while I'm waiting for you to get through to my knucklehead husband or wife, whatever it might be. Jesus bids us to take on that yoke and work with him, find strength in him. This is what Paul's telling us. I'm going to end on this. One more verse. Ephesians 3:19. This, again, these are things I just feel like I'm a little baby spiritually. I've got so much growing to do in learning to do the stuff, and whatever the stuff, whatever God calls us to do individually, as a church, in the strength that he supplies. Okay. Ephesians 3:19. Okay, while you're looking that up, let me just remind you guys, I haven't like gone off on a tangent here, okay? This really links, because when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What does he say? For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. He's saying, when I do it in the power of God that he supplies, when I'm leaning on him, when I'm following his lead, I'm yoked to him, I'm not pulling against him, right? He's saying things go much more smoothly. And that doesn't mean things go right. I'm like, according to what we think ought to go. But what that means is I could go into the big box store and I'll be totally at peace. Hey, go ahead, take an hour. No problem. I'll just be sitting here. You know? You go ahead. Take your lunch break too. You know, I mean, just, there's like, no, it's not a big deal. Like, you know, it's like believing, you know, in one sense, that's kind of an extension of the sovereignty of God. God knew I was going to be there. He knew why there was only one helper that day and not the three they normally have. You could see this was a real problem with me. Because I went through all the stuff, man, before Jesus laid me out, you know, in a sense. And said, you're just a sinner in need of my saving grace. And I'm like, yeah, got that right. Got that right. So this ties in because he's saying, you know, when we don't work with the Lord and we're working in our own strength, it's hard, man. It's either in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. You know, read your Bible. I can't remember where. I should know this. But it talks about, you know, doing work with an unsharpened axe and how hard that is, right? And I think that's really how it is when we're not doing it in his strength. You know, again, it's not that it means life's going to be easy for us, but it means that as we go through the difficult things, he's supplying what we need. It's not nearly as tough as it would be without his strength, right? All right, Ephesians 3. 19. I really think this should be our prayer, you guys. Like, so if I were to say, let's write down a prayer that addresses what we've just been talking about, it would be what the Apostle Paul talks about here. Ephesians 3:19. You kind of have to back up to 14 if you want to get the beginning of the prayer. We're kind of dropping in on the middle of a prayer. So let's go back there. He says, For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, verse 14. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Amen. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now listen, that you be, this is like the end of it. When he says that you may be, this is like the conclusion of all that he just prayed. He says the reason is that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. And what that makes me do is I'm like, I know theologically I have all of the Spirit, but he doesn't have all of me. That is evident from the big box experience, okay? I have all of him, but he doesn't have all of me. And this abiding life that Jesus describes in John 15 and that Hudson Taylor talks about in his experience, okay? It's basically, and for me, I feel like this is an okay thing to pray. It's right here in the Bible. I want to know the fullness of the power of God in my life. I want to see him move me forward in my walk with him, in my marriage, in my work, in ways that I could not do in my own strength. And that's what he wants to do with every believer. It's almost like say, okay, God, here I am. Fill me up. I want to know, like he says. I want to know, and grant me to be strengthened with a power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that Christ will dwell in my heart through faith. I want to have a faith that's activated by the power of God in my life, so that when these things come up day in and day out, the things that we come up against, or the things that God calls us out of our comfort zone to do, that I'll be filled up with the fullness of God. And that Christ, in a sense, is just dripping off of me and you. It's like, you know that when it talks about having the fragrance of Jesus, you know, the fragrance of life to those who are not perishing, right? Christians are a fragrance, it's a sweet smell. To those who are perishing, it stinks, in a sense, metaphorically speaking. But as I am filled up with the fullness of God, and I am pulling with him, not against him, looking to him. I mean, I can just imagine the younger, less experienced ox with the more experienced one. You know, why is the older dude pulling this way when the guy says that word right? You know, why is he doing that? I want to go this way. No, I got to learn from the Lord, right? And I get into the scriptures and I let them, I submit to them, I take on their yoke. But then the things that he shows me to do that are clear, I have to do it on his strength. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in need of your power, in need of your strength. We all come here with various power deficits in different areas of our life where we're like, man, I'm an epic fail here. I'm an epic fail there. We all feel that, Lord. First of all, Lord, we praise you that Jesus has taken on our failures, all of our sins. He's taken them on the cross. We're forgiven. We put our faith in him. But Lord, help us to know, more experientially know, not just with our head, what it means to be filled up with all the fullness of God in everything that we do. Lord, we know somehow there is this mysterious striving that we do, that, you know, we have to work hard. We work hard. But at the same time we're trusting, at the same time we're resting in you, at the same time we're working hard. So Lord, we just pray. Help us, Lord, to even to be able to take some time this week, even if it's just for 15 minutes, to reflect and say, you know, maybe I've been chopping in the wrong forest. Maybe I've been spending all my time and effort on this stuff over here, and it's really not what the Lord wants me to do. It's just not what he wants me to do. Lord, I just pray that you give direction through your word like that to people here. Pray, Lord, you'd fill us up this morning. Don't let us go away from here defeated. Lord, let us come into your presence knowing that you are ready to fill up empty vessels. And so we come to you the morning and say, well, we're empty. We need you. And so, Lord, would you fill us and strengthen us for all the things that lie ahead this week? We ask it in our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen.